ராமாய ராம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசி ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதியே நமக. ஐதி காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 74, தி கண்டினியூஷன் ஆஃப் வேஜஸ் ஆஃப் சின். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. பாரத ஃபெல்ட் தட் ஹி ஹேட் பட் டெல்ட் லைட்லி, வெரி லைட்லி வித் தி வுமன் ஹூ கால்ட் ஹர்செல்ஃப் ஹிஸ் மதர். The more he dwelt in imagination about her unspeakable crime and its dreadful results, furious indignation mastered him quiet, and he pierced her heart with sharp and harsh words. Monster of cruelty, perfection of wickedness, take yourself away from this kingdom, from the sight of man, even as my grandsire hunted your mother out of the country for her heartlessness and crimes. Do you expect me to survive the death of my sire and the banishment of my brothers, and all at your hands? Count me as dead, and wail and gnash your teeth as long as your sinful life retains its hold upon this body, for the foul sin of committing to the deaths of your husband and of your sons Rama and Lakshmana, and of your peerless daughter-in-law Sita, and of the countless millions that inhabit the city. My sire or Rama, how did they ever cross your path? Can you show another such devoted servant of virtue and duty as my beloved brother? What wrong or injustice did you suffer at their hands that you should in one and the same moment slay the one and banish the other? You have destroyed this fair line of Ikshvaku and have thereby burdened your soul with the sin of having murdered a Brahmana for whom the Vedas have no mysteries. The deepest and the darkest hills calls out to you to reside there for all time. For, not for you, the bright worlds where your husband sits on his throne of glory. My heart trembles in affright at the recollection of your hideous sin. I, the son born of your loins, for what devilish brain could ever conceive and compass the murder of your lord and husband and the exile of Rama, the beloved of all beings? It was your hand, I say, that plunged the dagger into the heart of my father. It was your hand that drove from this fair realm by lawful right theirs, my brothers and Sita. Boundless and eternal sway over the kingdom of infamy and disgrace is what you have secured for me, your glorious heritage. The right well have you crowned your efforts by bespeaking for me the miserable fates that awaits the foulest sinners. Fool, possessed of the demon of ambition, is it a woman I see before me, or a fierce, bloodthirsty tiger of the jungles? Are you not my most relentless foe that has taken my mother's form to work evil and misery upon me all the more easily? Famous beyond compare in the annals of sin, foul murderess of your fond, devoted husband, soil not my ears with the hate of speech. No. Kaushalya, Sumitra, and the other royal ladies are drowned in grief all through your vile machinations. Bright fame and incomparable have you secured to the house that gave you birth, to the house that took you in. King Ashwapati is famed for his generous and noble instincts. Age and wisdom sit gracefully upon him. Hence, no reason could ever reconcile one to call you his daughter. It is nearer truth to say that some malignant demon has chosen this form to bring destruction upon this house. Hear me once again. You have buried in the depths of the dark forest Sri Ramachandra, the living embodiment of duty and truth. You have directed the grief engendered thereof to bring about the death of our beloved king and lord. What object in creation, be it the meanest and the most wicked, would ever regard you with affection or sympathy? You that has rendered me fatherless and brotherless at just one single stroke, can you ever expect pity or compassion at the hands of others? What bright worlds on high do you hope to enter after having torn her only son from the arms of Kaushalya, whose heart knows no stain, and whose old age you have rendered helpless and unbearable? Annihilation, utter and certain annihilation, is what stares you in the face. My mind can grasp at no other milder fate that awaits you. Rama is the son of Kaushalya, your co-wife. But what has blinded you to the fact that He is a source of life and light to every single person, especially His kith and kin, that He is entitled in every way to stand by the side of Dasharatha, and that the untold millions in this empire would quit their hold on life if He is taken away from them? It is utterly inconceivable that anyone could entertain the faintest shadow of a doubt upon this. The Vedas tell us that the Son is but the Father born again. He springs from His Father's heart where the Jiva sits enthroned. And that which passes from the Father is but the energy, the essence of the face, neck, chest, stomach, hand, feet, eyes, nose, fingers and other parts of the body. A mother is drawn more towards the child born to her, the flesh of her flesh, than towards the mother that bore her, the brothers and the sisters that came into the world with her, or the kin that claimed with her the common tie of blood. Then how did you expect Kaushalya to stand the shock of a lifelong separation from such a son? Once in the far past, Kamadhenu, the cow of plenty, who saw with clear vision into the mysteries of Dharma, turned her eyes to the earth and observed a farmer plowing a large field with two oxen yoked to the pole. Poor beasts, they had labored from morning right to the hour when the sun reaches the highest point in its course, and naturally they drooped with fatigue and exhaustion. The tie of blood brought tears to the eyes of Surabhi, and she wept aloud at the sight of the misery that befell the beasts that came of her line. The Lord of the Celestials, Indra, chanced to pass that way on some business of his, and the teardrops fell upon him with divine fragrance. He looked up and beheld Kamadhenu weeping in the bitterness of her grief. All reverently did he question her with joined palms. Mother, why grieve so? Had you any insult or injustice at the hands of me or mine? Ever intent upon the welfare of all creation, whence comes this woe upon you? I see no reason why fear from anyone should disturb your rest. And to him replied the cow of plenty, I fear none. Behold these pair of oxen born of my race, yoked by yon farmer to the plow and made to work from dewy morn to noonday sun. They have fainted away from fatigue, lean, emaciated and too weak to get up. Yet the heartless hind tears at the roots of my heart when he goads them on to fresh work. My frame quivers with their agony. Blood is thicker than water and a son is the dearest object that the world can give a mother. Now, for all that, they were not born from the loins of Kamadhenu. Countless millions has she of children. She is perfect in the theory and practice of Dharma, the head and fountain of all prosperity, wealth, graces of head and heart. She is ever engaged in the propagation of the species by the union of the male and female. Millions call her their mother. Yet, she shed bitter tears at the sight of the misery that befell two nameless oxen. Look here, Rama was born of the womb of Kaushalya. He is her only son, born after millennia and millennia of cold barrenness. All virtues, all excellences strive with one another to crown him. Kaushalya is a woman. Age has dimmed her beauty. She is no longer the favorite wife of the king. She looks to her son for everything. And do you hope to go scot-free, having torn her darling son away from her arms? Ceaseless woe and eternal infamy are your portion here on earth, and utter annihilation awaits you on the threshold of death. I will conduct the funeral rites of my sire, and then I will entreat Rama to return to Ayodhya and sit on the throne of his fathers. I will wipe this foul blot on my name and win everlasting fame. Then I will take it upon myself to lead the life of a recluse in the forests of Dandaka. I cannot bear to look upon the citizens of this fair city weep and bewail their miserable lot, nor will I put up patiently with the dark sin that you have perpetrated. Throw yourself into blazing fire, bury yourself in the darkest depths of Dandaka, far away from the sight of man, or hang yourself by the neck until you are dead. In no other way can you expiate your crime, no other course is open to you. My heart will know no peace until Rama comes back from the wood and rules over his people. Then alone can I hope that the world will pardon somewhat my driving him into cruel exile. And as a lordly elephant in rut, ranging free the forest glades, is borne to the ground under the shower of spears, goads, harpoons, lances and other missiles, heaving furious sighs. Or as the lofty Indradhvaja thrown on the earth at the close of Indra's festival, even so did Bharata fall at her feet in a dead faint, his eyes red with weeping, his dress and ornaments all in wild disorder. Mangalam Koshilendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.